in the finest traditions of our great democracy, we are rallying the noble nations to build a new liberal order that prevents war. That is what the U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said, also saying that Trump is shaping a new liberal order to block Russia, China, and Iran. Do these statements actually have buyers? In this edition of the debate, we will ask, how can the U.S. make such claims when it has waged more wars than any other country in the world, and whether Mike Pompeo's claims, in line with America First, is another way of saying it's America's way or the highway.
Almost 2 years since moving to the Oval Office, U.S. President Donald Trump has pulled out of numerous international agreements. Trump's unilateral decisions have prompted reactions from many, even his inner circle and Washington's allies. The U.S. president insists he's doing the right thing despite a pile of criticisms. Speaking at the German Marshall Fund Institute in Brussels, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo defended every single move Trump has made over the past 2 years.
This is what President Trump is doing. He is returning the United States to its traditional, central leadership role in the world. He sees the world as it is, not as we wish it to be. He knows that nothing can replace the nation state as the guarantor of democratic freedoms and national interests.
Pompeo says Washington wants to build a new liberal world order under Trump's leadership. He added that the U.S. president aims to prevent wars and achieve prosperity for all.
It's laughable when Pompeo and the U.S. administration talk about democracy and bringing order and preventing wars and creating prosperity around the world. The fact is that they support more tyrants around the world, more despots, more dictators than any other nation known in the world, and they've consistently done that.
The former CIA chief also slammed China, Russia, and Iran for what he called violating international treaties without speaking a word about Washington's own violations.
China has routinely exploited loopholes in the World Trade Organization rules, imposed market restrictions, forced technology transfers, and stolen intellectual property. Russia hasn't embraced Western values of freedom and international cooperation. Rather, it has suppressed opposition voices and invaded the sovereign nations of Georgia and of Ukraine. Iran has blatantly disregarded UN Security Council resolutions, lied to the International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors about its nuclear program, and evaded UN sanctions.
Pompeo also took a swipe at European critics who accused the U.S. of undermining global institutions, insisting that Trump is restoring America's traditional leadership role. The Trump administration has withdrawn from a number of international agreements, most importantly the Paris Climate Agreement, Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Iran nuclear deal, and a key nuclear weapons treaty with Russia. All the decisions were made unilaterally. This has made other parties lose confidence in Washington and left little credibility for the United States in the eyes of the international community.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who joins us from Washington, D.C., and also editor-in-chief of the Duran.com, Alexander Mercuris, who joins us from London. I'd like to welcome you both, and let me start with you first, Alexander Mercuris. President Trump, and this is a quote, is returning U.S. to its traditional leadership role, is what Michael Pompeo said. Is a leadership role defined by how many military bases a country has across the world and how many nuclear bombs and military equipment it has and sells?
No, of course it's not, and I think that is a profound misconception. I mean, what Mr. Pompeo basically is saying is that the United States is in a position to determine the norms of international behavior for everyone else. So as you said in your introduction, as your program said in its introduction, the United States, if it doesn't like a treaty, like the INF Treaty, or let us go back a bit further, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty it signed with the Soviet Union in 1972, it can withdraw from it. It can impose sanctions on other countries without the agreement of the United Nations Security Council. It can impose tariffs on other countries in violation of trade agreements or trade principles. It can do all of these things, but other countries are prohibited from doing those kind of things to the United States. Now, that is not a leadership role. That is a position where the United States is claiming an exorbitant privilege for itself, setting itself above other countries and saying that its behavior cannot be regulated, but their behavior must be regulated by the United States.
Well, Michael Lane, one of the profound statements, which were there were many that Michael Pompeo made, I'm going to quote this one again. Again, it's a direct quote. The nation state as the guarantor of democratic freedoms. I'm going to take that phrase and I'm going to combine it with the guarantor of democratic freedoms and national interests. I think this had its shining moments when it came to the assassination and murder of Jamal Khashoggi. How can the U.S. claim that, but yet, and I don't know if you caught the press conference where Senator Bob Corker and Lindsey Graham came out, and they said directly the young prince was involved in this murder, that he's complicit. How is it that the Trump administration, therefore, is standing behind Saudi Arabia and behind this prince?
Well, first let me say what I got out of the Pompeo speech was that the secretary was talking about the need to go back to basics on these things. I think his takeaway line was that we seem to have embraced multilateralism for the sake of multilateralism without necessarily any analysis or any action to ensure that multilateral action will lead to a better, safer world. And so he was expressing the Trump view that if a treaty is not working out the way it's supposed to, or if a relationship is not working out the way it's supposed to, the Trump administration will take action to change the course of that, including legally withdrawing from certain treaties in order to make it work. He is certainly setting the stage for a re-enhanced world order, going back to the basics, where multilateral treaties and organizations focus on their core mission rather than on bureaucratic survival. And it remains to be seen whether or not one country leading this can break the inertia of the world. Specifically addressing your question as to how the United States, in the light of all that, can stand by Saudi Arabia, its ally and friend in the region. Every year or every day, a country needs to make a judgment as to whether or not it wants to pursue more aggressively the idea of human rights on the world stage, or whether it's willing to suborn human rights and the effort to bring that to the top of the agenda in order to pursue what it would consider to be a more important agenda, which is joint pursuit of the vision for a world, for a regional order and peace and security of the people of the Middle East. These decisions are made by countries every day. President Trump has made a decision on this. The words of Senator Corker and his colleagues notwithstanding, I would note, not that it really is that important, but Senator Corker has voluntarily decided to leave the Congress in about another 30 days. So his voice was becoming one that fell really out of favor in the way the American foreign policy was being conducted. He'll be yesterday's news within a month, and President Trump will still be there making the decisions that our interests are so closely aligned with Saudi Arabia that we are willing to stand by our ally in the Middle East in an effort to jointly pursue that joint vision that we have for safety and security in the
region. Okay. Alexander Mercuris, Michael Lane was making some statements regarding Saudi Arabia and how the U.S. will remain its ally, and not dismissing, but saying that Senator Bob Corker and his stance, it's not going to be that relevant because he's going to be leaving office in a matter of a month. Now, I'd like to ask you, Alexander Mercuris, this highly ranked senator also said in his statements, because it's relative in the fact that Michael Pompeo has cited Iran as being one of the threats, aside from also citing Russia and China, that for Saudi Arabia to be our ally fighting against Iran, and I'm quoting him here, and Michael Lane, I'm going to come back with the same question to you. Senator Bob Corker said that's a misnomer, that mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia mm-hmm. is acting against Iran for its own interests. So I don't quite see that connection that Michael Pompeo was making when Corker, Senator Bob Corker, described Iran, Saudi Arabia vis-a-vis Iran in that respect?
Well, I think Senator Corker is absolutely right. I mean, if you are looking at the situation in the Middle East, Iran is not destabilizing the Middle East. Iran is not promoting terrorism in the Middle East. The description of Iran's foreign policy that has been coming out of the United States government, out of the Trump administration, as repeated by Secretary of State Pompeo, is one that nobody looking at the situation in the Middle East could possibly recognize. The country that has been most actively involved in supporting terrorist movements in the Middle East has been Saudi Arabia. It is Saudi Arabia which has funded terrorist groups in Syria. It is Saudi Arabia which has funded terrorist groups in Libya. It is Saudi citizens that have been fighting as terrorists in many of these countries. And let us also remember it was Saudi citizens who were heavily involved in Afghanistan and who were also involved in the 9/11 events which happened in 2001. So Iran was not involved in any of these things. And if we come back to the original issue about the United States assuming this leadership role and deciding which countries are behaving correctly and which are not, what you see here is the United States, or at least the Trump administration, applying a very selective view of which countries it favors and which it doesn't, not on any notional leadership role, but in order to pursue certain geopolitical interests which it wants to advance in the Middle East and which have placed it in opposition to Iran.
Okay, well, Michael Lane, I'd like to get your reaction to what Bob Corker said, Senator Bob Corker, about Saudi Arabia and how it's acting against Iran, and that that is the same as U.S.'s interest, and that that's a misnomer. That doesn't quite go with what Trump and Michael Pompeo have described Iran as when it comes to Saudi Arabia?
No, it doesn't. There's a disconnect there. Senator Corker certainly has been a very influential player, and I wouldn't even want to minimize the influence he may have even after he loses Congress, leaves Congress, although his influence will be diminished substantially because of that single move of leaving the Congress. What we have here is a situation where if he describes Saudi Arabia as acting in Saudi Arabia's interests, not in the United States' interests, I'm not sure that the two don't overlap there. President Trump is very, very outspoken about the fact that America first means pursuing America's interests, and he expects every other sovereign nation in the world to pursue their interests, and we will cooperate in those areas where our interests overlap, and it's in the mutual benefit of all parties concerned to do so. I think this is one of those areas where even if Senator Corker is not convinced, President Trump is convinced that United States geopolitical interests and Saudi Arabia interests in the region do overlap. And so therefore, President Trump, when he came into office, doubled down on the, in fact, probably even more than doubled down on the relationship with Saudi Arabia in pursuit of our mutual vision for the Middle East, more so than President Trump's predecessor, President Obama, who, as you know, although he had a relationship with Saudi Arabia, it was sometimes not as strong and as warm as it had been under previous presidents. So if there was ever a time where there was a fissure that was going to manifest itself between the United States and Saudi in terms of our mutual interests, it was in the Obama administration. It broke a little bit, it bent a little bit, but it didn't snap. And when President Trump came in, he did double down on it for exactly that reason. He sees our interests overlapping with Saudi's interests.
Okay, let's get out of the Saudi Arabia context here. And Alexander Mercuris, again, one of the other statements that was highlighted of what Michael Pompeo said today was President Trump is building a new liberal order that prevents war and achieves greater prosperity. You know, that's very hard for many to believe when the U.S. is engaged in many wars, either covertly or indirectly, And of course, the most recent one is this war in Yemen, where in one shape or another, the U.S. is involved in.
Yes, I think you put your finger on it. And if I can just come back, actually, to the Saudi Arabian point, what it seems to me that the United States wants, or rather what Mr. Pompeo and Mr. Trump seem to want, is they want to have it both ways. They want the United States to act like a sovereign country, pursuing what they define as the U.S.'s interests. And quite often, I have to say that I think the interests that they are identifying for the United States are not proper interests. At the same time, they talk of the United States as acting as some kind of leader of some kind of rule-based liberal international order, and this is what Mr. Pompeo talked about. Now, these are not really fully compatible things, because, of course, what that means, what that seems to mean, to me at least, is that since liberalism is an ideological concept and one which has become very conflated in the American mind with American political interests, it seems to me to basically say that the United States, instead of pursuing its interests, you know, ordinary interests, it should actually be exporting its ideas and enforcing them on other people, and using force sometimes, as we've seen in Yemen, as we've seen in all these wars, in order to make sure that they conform with its views. And that is not what one usually understands about sovereign states independently following their own policies. The problem the United States has with Iran, if we come back to Iran, is precisely that. Iran is a sovereign state which doesn't follow its independent policies. But this is not what the United States seems to like.
Treaties. Michael Lane, let's look at some of the ones that the U.S. does not like, has pulled out of, and basically is in disagreements with, unless they get fixed. Well, the Iran nuclear deal is one of them. We could talk about the Paris Climate Accord. Although Trump did say, I think a year ago, that, well, maybe we may rejoin that accord. That verdict is still up in the air. And then we have the UN Human Rights Council, the WTO. He's not into that. The UN as a whole, he has actually laid some blame. And then you have the EU. And of course, the most recent controversial one, the INF Missile Treaty. I mean, tell us how the U.S. thinks that these treaties are the violators, as Michael Pompeo said, must be confronted, and the treaties must be fixed or discarded. I mean, is it as easy as that to fix them? This will be Michael Lane. Go ahead.
Right. Well, thank you. I don't think they're going to be as easy to fix. I don't think that President Trump is going to leave office after 4 or 8 years with 100% batting record on this. I mean, look where we are, starting off on what would be considered maybe the easy stuff. He revoked the North American Free Trade Agreement, and it was only last week when he was able to add his signature to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that would replace that. That was, you know, almost 2 years in the process to come to that. We have ongoing trade issue disputes with the European Union. Clearly, the circumstances we have with China are very deep and very sharp and very severe. The negotiations to try and repair those things, or improve them, as you will, haven't worked out yet well, although President Trump expresses optimism that they will. Let's look at a few of the ones that he pulled out of. The circumstances with the Paris Accords. That was simply because the United States was required to pay for China's violations in a monetary sense, the way that was structured. President Obama thought that was a good deal to get the United States into the treaty and get the world into the treaty. President Trump didn't, so he lawfully withdrew from that. The last one I'll mention is the IMF. The United States has insisted for years that Russia is violating the INF, in terms of the kinds of missiles that it is building. Russia has counter-accused the United States of violating the INF in terms of the kinds of bases that it has in Europe, claiming that they're offensive rather than defensive bases. Today, in a subsequent speech to the one that that Pompeo gave to the George Marshall Fund, he gave a subsequent speech to NATO in which he put Russia on notice that there are 60 days for them to make measurable progress in terms of coming into compliance with the INF, or the U.S. is going to withdraw from that. I think it's time for the U.S. and Russia to get back to the negotiating table on INF and find out how they can reach an agreement that both sides consider to be verifiable and they can live with.
Sounds like a good idea. And Alexander Mercuris, Pompeo has said that the U.S. will lead the restoration of the liberal order among nations with the help of other democracies. Now, one of the biggest blocks of democracies would be the European Union. But wait, Pompeo has said that organizations like the EU have become corroded and are in dire need of change.
Well, indeed, I mean, yet again, the United States doesn't accept, doesn't want to take the world as it is, despite what Mr. Pompeo said about wanting it to do so. It wants to actually change the world as it wants to. And this is where we come back to this business about the United States pulling out of treaties it doesn't like. The whole point about treaties is that they limit the people who sign those treaties. This is true of all treaties, but it seems increasingly that the United States, when it is unhappy with something in a treaty, simply pulls out of it. And, you know, the INF treaty is one treaty. I think the single issue which has caused the most anguish around the world is the cancellation of the agreement that existed, that was agreed by the international community, including the United States, with Iran, the nuclear deal that was agreed with Iran. The European Union, the member states of the European Union, were fully signed up to that. They were fully supportive of it. The United States says it wants to lead these democracies, including, as you correctly say, the democracies that make up the European Union. But when it wants to do something, it is happy to entirely disregard its views. When it doesn't like how it works, it talks about it becoming corrupted and it wants it to change. Again, that is not leadership, that is dictation.
We'll have to end it there. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guest, founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, spoke to us from Washington, D.C., and editor-in-chief of theduran.com, Alexander Mercuris, spoke to us from London. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. For Mikhail Vitavoy, entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.